Yeah, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to open up with a prophecy for the viewers at the beginning. My sons and my daughters, so a prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14 means any Christian can relay a message from Yahweh through Jesus Christ. And so that's what I'm going to do for you. My sons and my daughters know that I have great plans, incredibly exciting plans, bigger than, better than anything you could ever imagine. But I do ask you to start stretching your imagination. I want you to start dreaming big. Force yourself to start thinking your own fairy tales. Force yourself to do this. What do you got to lose? Lock yourself in your room. Get down on your hands and knees and start imagining your fairy tale. What would be the best fairy tale ever with you as a lead character in it? And as you imagine, as you start walking out in these directions, I am waiting on the other side of that. I'm waiting to start telling you what's going to happen and what direction we're going to go. And I want you to know, as you expand your expectations, these fairy tales of your own life, that it's even better than that. It's exciting. The ending is incredible. This life is but a vapor. We got a little bit of time to do incredible things. The best adventure you've ever imagined is not in a book. It's not in a movie. It's you. And it's living inside you. And the only thing that's holding you back is obedience, belief, and the Word. So come with me on this adventure and be set free into your own adventure. Amen. All right. Now, there was a husband and a wife that they weren't very wealthy, but they always had a dream about taking their kids to Disneyland. So Disneyland was supposed to be like the land of milk and honey for kids. Even people that never been there, all they know is you take your kids there, and it's like going to the Super Bowl. It's just the best place. You got to take your kids there. They have to be happy. Anyways, the parents saved, and they saved, and they had the kids saved, and they saved, and there was like five kids. They did a road trip down there, and they went to Disneyland, and three of the five kids had a really good time. But two of the five rebelled the whole way. One of them was about a teenager. She started dating a guy her parents didn't agree with, and the whole trip, all she did was feel sorry for herself because she was being taken hostage away from this guy she thought she loved. The other one was a football player. He was 14 years old, and he thought he was going to be a professional football player. The whole trip, they did not enjoy the fellowship in the station wagon from, I think it was from Tallahassee down to wherever it is, Disneyland or Disney World, Florida. And the whole way back, they felt sorry for themselves, and all they could think about is where they would rather be. Has anybody ever heard a story like this?
Yeah, I lived it.
Have you ever been on a vacation where there's somebody that didn't want to be there? Mm-hmm. And they ruin it for everybody? Maybe not completely ruin it. Have you ever been in a picture where everybody's smiling, one person does this? Mm-hmm. And you look at the picture and you're like, it's a great picture! Get out of the picture! What's wrong with you? And we don't know necessarily what's going through the person. It could have been, you know, sometimes I've been a person and I'm not intentionally scowling. Maybe they weren't thinking, but there are some people that are they're never smiling. And they can ruin a whole picture. Maybe not 100% ruined. But you're gonna go, but then the happy people go, do everybody a favor. If you're not gonna smile in the picture, just bow out if you don't wanna be there, because we want a picture of joy, of happiness and stuff like that. So all of us have been there. We've been there where one or two people ruined it for us, and guess what? All of us have actually been that person that ruined it too. Maybe we're in a bad mood. Maybe we're dieting. Maybe we had something go wrong. I don't know what it is. I had it with one time where I was sitting there and I had these big dreams and I said, oh, I must be called this direction because I got this the word of knowledge to go this way. And I went, oh. A word of knowledge means go this way. Then a word of wisdom is going to be the wisdom wire going that way. Now a lot of times I'm guilty if I get a word of knowledge and all of a sudden my own brain goes, I got the wisdom part. We don't need any more information. I got this figured out. He wants me to go this way because this. And I go that way and I'm obedient and it doesn't work out the way I thought. And you know what I end up doing? I end up like a 4-year-old kid that didn't get the right Happy Meal toy, sitting down, feeling sorry for himself, pouting. Yeah. Well, everybody's seen a little kid pouting at their own birthday party because they didn't get what they wanted. How distasteful is that? Yeah. Right? We got to make sure we're not that.
Yeah.
Well, we're different. I'm talking about a mortgage here. I'm talking about a husband or a wife. It's the same thing. But it's just how easy does a little leaven the whole lump? We're all familiar with that. So you can see what would be a better trip to Disneyland if you could have just pulled the other two out. You can imagine the parents in that story. They go, we should have sent them off. They should have went to the juvenile hall or something. It would have wasted the money. And here the parents came back, and that's what the parents were thinking. But what would have been perfect for that Disneyland trip? How about the only people that want to go get to go? You don't want to go? Stay.
No, I want to go.
Not with that attitude. You're not going anywhere. So parents have done that, and I've been the rotten apple a lot of my life. I'm a big work in progress. Now the next part would be, who here chose to be born? Who chose to be in this life?
Nobody.
None of us. Did we choose to say, I want to be born in the United States at this time? 1978 or 1962 or 2006? Did you say, that's when I want to be born, I want to be in this family? No, you didn't choose it, did you? You just end up in it, you just make the best of it. But we didn't choose.
With that, and I chose to be here.
The whole book, you know, so it's real important, is this whole book is our explanation to life. Why are we here? What is the meaning to life? Richard Gere pulls his socks off, talks to the Dalai Lama, and he loves to hear himself speak. I want to know the designer of life. What does he say the meaning of life is? The first 4,000 years on this is a 4,000 year timetable right here. The first 4,000 years was waiting for a boy to be born. That's the Magi. They go, where's the king of the Jews? So the people, the followers who adored and loved their creator, and Romans says even if they never knew his name was Yahweh, they didn't follow him, they could be on a desert island, getting down on their knees, loving their neighbors themselves, doing what was right. And they're still following Yahweh. So here's the whole thing is that those who are waiting go, what's Yahweh all about? And Yahweh's, his whole thing was there's a birth announcement about a son who's coming. That's what life's about. They're going to be looking for this guy. Well, he was born. Now that's Christians right over here. Now Christians, for the most part, they don't look at the first 4,000 years of existence. All of these instructions on the first 4,000 years, it really didn't even matter. Because it's called Old Testament. That's old news. No, it's the Hebrew Scriptures. It's the foundation of who Jesus Christ was. And so what we have to do, and actually what you can do, is if you read the introduction and the conclusion of your instruction manual, you get a pretty good idea why you're here. And why don't give up. It's not about just dying to self every single day. Oh, great, dying to self. Well, here we go. You know, that'll last for a little bit of time, but eventually you're going to, this stinks. What did Jesus Christ say through the Gospels more than anything else? Rewards, treasures. Rewards, treasures. Like your mom was up there spying on you, the all-seeing eye, and she sees. There is somebody that sees everything we do, and he sees our hearts too. Everything we do. And Jesus Christ was going to, I'm calling you up a difficult path. And I know you're not going to want to do it. And I don't want you to compare yourself with other people. Because other humans will let you down. They're not a good reference point. There's one human being that's your reference point. The Son of the Living God. The Son of the Living Elohim. Amen. That's your example. And you're going to get to meet him. He's coming back. And we don't know when. The undercover boss is coming back. In a second. And you're going to get to meet him. And he's not going to say, hey, Troy, what did Phil tell you to do? Well, Phil said it. I guess he... No. He's going to say, what did you do? Well, man, I didn't partake. Man, that stinks. Were you all by yourself? Yep. I lost all my friends, all my family. Well, you know what, Troy? I got it right here in the notebook. Here's your reward. And whatever the reward is going to be better than anything we've ever let go. That where your heart is, this where your treasure is going to be. You want to know how you're not going to burn out in this life? You have to know where you're going. Just like a road trip down to Disneyland. If the kids are stuck, all seven of them, in an old blue station wagon where everybody's got gas, and there's no electric, there's no air conditioning, and the boys are stealing each other's toys, and they're pushing each other, I hate you more, and they're being forced to eat brown paper lunches of old peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, they're not going to be really, really in a great mood the whole way there, are they? But if they know they're going to Disneyland, they'll be eating that brown paper sack. Man, I can't wait. Pretty soon it's going to be cotton candy. Pretty soon it's going to be... And so we're going somewhere. And our life is supposed to be an advertisement. Joy. We should have more joy than anybody on the planet. That wherever we go, whatever our circumstances, we are a walking advertisement. To show people to go... Man, life is great. Do got kicked in the testicles. I know, but life is great. Oh, man. What makes you so optimistic? Man, I'm going to Disneyland, baby. I'm going to Disneyland because Christ is coming back. And that's what we're going to be taking a look at. What is the meaning of life? Because this whole book, we're going to start off in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, page 230. The Old Testament starts off with one, and it ends about 900. Then the Greek starts about one.
Could you repeat that again?
230 in the Hebrew text. Man. Sorry, I get so excited.
You have that TV on?
Yep. All part of the plan.
230?
Page 230, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. This is one of the purposes of your existence. Verse 19. Page 230. Isaiah, would you read that for me? It'd be on the right-hand side.
I call to witness again you today, the heavens and the earth, their life and death. Have I sent before thee the blessings and the curse? Therefore shouldest thou continue life.
Choose life.
Choose life. Thou unto mayest live, thou in thy speed.
Nice seed. Yahweh, throughout the whole book, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the God of the Hebrews, who had in his own son, Jesus Christ, die on the cross. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. What does he tell us to do? When ministers or religions say God did this or God did that? No, the story is life and death is before you. Choose. Did you guys get to choose to be born?
No.
Did you get to choose to be a Christian?
Nope.
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Yes. This next Disneyland, the only people who are going to go are the ones that are going to choose. And there's going to be some requirements. You want to go? Yeah, I want to go. Okay, then you're going to sign a waiver that if you pout, we're leaving you at a hotel room. Oh, man. I don't think Yahweh's going to leave us in a hotel room, but here's the thing is, he's going to choose life or death. Mm-hmm. Well, why did he do this? Life or death. John 3:16. Can somebody recite that for me? Look at the camera.
For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whomsoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
So that those who shall believe in him, is that a choice? What's so wonderful? Okay, what kids here and adults like their electronics? Is it nice? Facebook? You know, communicate to believers. It's nice, right? What's the difference between Facebook and your dog, Boone?
Boone isn't.
Boone chooses to be around you. Boone, your dog you had, chose to adore you. What's the difference between an animal at the zoos and your dog, Iron? The animals at the zoos, if you got rid of the cages, guess what's going to happen? See ya! They're gone!
Yeah,
this is business. You either pay me and give me my stuff, and you better have a good wall if I'm getting out. What about your dog, Iron? Does he choose to be around you?
Yeah.
Is there something neat about that? Is there something valuable about somebody who chooses you? And dogs are a great illustration of what Yahweh's asking for us. Because some of these dogs, they could be dying. They could be starving to death. They won't leave their own. Cats are like that too. Yahweh says he made some animals tame, some of them wild. Some of these animals need us. It makes cats and dogs very unique. Horses can be that same way too. That they get excited when they see you. Even their butts start shaking. Yeah. They think you're the king of the world. And here they are. Let's head home. Oh, I'm so sorry. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Does Minecraft do that for you?
No.
Does your computer do that for you?
No.
If you went off an outer space, if you lived by yourself, would you want to have puppies and animals or a video game?
Puppies and animals.
You'd want an animal. You'd want something that chose you. A relationship. It's not perfect. Yahweh wants us to choose him. Each day, choose life. He goes, I'm in life. And a computer system doesn't go, I'll die for you. No, the computer doesn't care about you or me. But the dog does. And if your house is on fire, what would you grab? Your computers or the dog?
Dog.
It'd be the dog. Yahweh's the same way. Some people on this earth are the caged animals at the zoo. They're only obeying because there's consequences. But then there's us. And no, nobody's even seen what we're doing. He sees. He sees us shaking our butt. He's sitting there. So it's a choose life. Choose life is Deuteronomy. John 14:15 and 15:14. Everybody with me? Say that. John 14:15 and 15:14 is another summary of what this life's about. Jesus Christ says, well, why do you call, well, I guess we, no, we want to, we can turn to John 14. Oh, this unconditional love. It doesn't matter what you do, you don't do for him. He just loves you. I go, is Jesus Christ your slave? Because if I have a slave, it doesn't matter what I do. He's got to do what I say. Jesus, Christians today are teaching the same thing they taught, the hippie thing, as unconditional. He's obligated to give these things to you despite your behavior. Really? Wow, are you really fooling yourself? I heard stories about that, about a husband. He said, my wife really doesn't care what I do. I waited tables with a guy. He said, well, I commit adultery, she commits adultery, so he didn't use those words. But he goes, it's kind of an understanding. We kind of see different people. I heard this guy was 19 years old, one of my bosses. Do you think he was telling the truth?
No.
Or do you think he was deceiving himself? No. What I wanted to do is like, hey, so your wife can let you see other people? And he was talking to girls, really pretty girls I worked with. He goes, yeah, his justification is she does the same thing. Do I want her to do? Hey, can I get your wife's number? She's cute. I thought about it. Then I thought about my job. I kept my job. Maybe I should have done it. Anyways, John 14:15. Here's another summary. And somebody to read that for me?
Me.
Okay. Go ahead, Mom. Or Esther.
If you be loving me, my commandments ye will keep. And I will kiss that father and other.
That's good right there. If you ask a Christian, do you love Jesus Christ?
Yes.
What does he say? Choose. Keep my commandments. Are we going to keep 100% of his commandments? No, 1 John 1:9 says you're going to blow it. And it's just, that's our sacrificial lamb. Confess your sins, get down on your hands and knees. I blew it, I'm really sorry. So, is Jesus a friend of sinners and saints? Saints, not sinners. Who said he was a friend of sinners?
The Pharisees.
The same people who called him Beelzebub. Mm-hmm. Now Christians today are not reading their Bibles. He's not a friend of sinners. He offers ways out, so we can say, hey, no, what fellowship does light have with darkness? There is no fellowship. Anybody who says that they can be in darkness and have fellowship with Yahweh and Jesus Christ is a liar. It says in 1 John 1. How about 15:14? Go ahead, Mel.
Ye are friends of mine if you be doing that which I am commanding you.
So he says, why do you say you love me and you don't do what I say? Or why do you call me your friend and you don't do what I say? Why do you say Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Why do you say I'm your boss, but you don't show up to work? You don't work here. Oh, I do. I work for you. No, you don't. You don't even clock in. Well, it shouldn't matter. It's unconditional. It's unconditional terms here. I saw the union. I'll let the union meet. You can't fire me. Really? Boy, you can have a surprise. I've been there too. I'm picking on some people, but John 14:15 and 15:14 says choose. Choose. Genesis 2:16, page 35. What is the meaning of this life? Choose. Make decisions. It's page 35 in the Hebrew text. Here's the Garden of Eden, and we're going to kind of come back to this, and hopefully my screens or my props are going to work. We'll see. Thank you, Father, for helping me with my technology and my user error. Verse 17. Here's one of the rules in the Garden of Eden, paradise. The enclosure of delights is what the Hebrew would say about this place. Where did everything start? The enclosure of delights. And he said Yahweh would walk in the cool of the day with his son and his daughter. Adam means not just the man, it means mankind. So in the beginning, Yahweh created male and female. They're twins. Later on, it's going to say in Genesis 2 that we took the, or later on, it's going to talk about removing the rib. That's talking about marriage. He had already created Adam and Eve. So he creates twins in the Garden of Delights. How are you kids doing? It's your dad. Have some babies. Come on, have some babies. And he goes, one rule. One rule. Verse 17. Verse 16, I read it. And Yahweh Elohim laid command on the man, saying, and that means mankind, Adam, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou eatest, thou shalt die. There's a decision right there. What fellowship does light have with darkness? None. Adam and Eve had to choose. Did they choose to be born? No. Did they choose to inherit the whole earth? Think Donald Trump's wealthy? They own the whole thing. Oh, no, did they choose it? No. You ever heard of a silver spoon kid that was born into a rich family, didn't do anything to inherit it, just born in the right place at the right time? That's kind of what, in my understanding, what this was. And Yahweh says, I give you a choice. Here's the choice. So what did they choose? The purpose of the Garden of Eden, if you read the beginning and the end of this book, is Adam and Eve were given an audition. They got a chance to choose just like us. Yahweh's not going to kidnap people to the new heaven and new earth. He's not going to kidnap people to Disneyland. Yeah. What would they do to our Disneyland trip? Right. They don't want to be here? What we would call paradise to a fornicator would be their Hades. I can't fornicate! What? Oh no! Oh, you gotta go! You gotta... To a drunkard, you can't get drunk there? I don't want to go! To somebody who loves himself or whatever the sin is, they're not going to want to go there because the paradise we're going to, there's going to be rules. And guess what? We're all the labs, and he's going to come walking around. Oh, our butts are going to be shaking. We're going to be so excited. We're going to lick his feet. We're here. We're looking around, and everybody that's there wants to be there. Isn't it great when you go to a Christian festival? If you've never been to one, you got to go. It's different than church. Churches, some kids get drugged there. I would have been drugged there. Sit up! Back! The Christian festivals is something different. Most of the people there want to be there. And it's fantastic being surrounded with our brothers in Christ, and they're going, instead of Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, they're going, Jesus Christ! His name is really Yahushua Mashiach, when most people don't know that. I knew that. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. That's where we're going. And that's Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation. Now I'll turn to 1 Corinthians, page 178 in the Greek. So what was the purpose of this life? What was the purpose of Adam and Eve? Well, why would he give them, why did he even give them sin? Why was there even a tree there? Do you want to have a relationship with a robot and Facebook? Well, at least with Facebook, there's people that's interacting. There's people choosing to like you or dislike you, right? There's people choosing, hey, y'all, can I, did they send you a friend invite? Is that nice? Hey, they look pretty nice. Oh, unfriend them, quick. But it's neat. It's interacting, people choosing you. Adam and Eve were given a choice. And even their life was a glimpse. They're giving them a glimpse of what's to come. All the lives between here and to here, people are given a shot. It's an audition. It's a job interview and an audition. We're going someplace wonderful. You don't have to sit down with somebody who's unlearned and go, we have to teach people revenge?
No.
It comes very natural. Do animals go seeking after revenge? Restitution? I don't think they do. They might retaliate, but they're not going to go get revenge. You're going to say, no, do animals, are animals going, we got to sit down and figure out what's going to happen after this life. No. No, actually when their buddy gets shot, they're like, we'll go deer hunting. You shoot their buddy, they kind of look over and go, whoa, we're not like that. Yahweh has put a design inside us. All of us already know that this life is an audition. There's got to be something better. When we see baby eagles eat one another, and the mother watches it, do you have to teach a kid that's wrong? No. We were born. What was that word you looked up? Not innate, but what would it be called?
Innate.
It's innate. It's inborn. These things. When we see babies devour babies, we're going, that's wrong. Well, how do you know that? Were you taught that? You don't have to teach it. It's inborn. Yahweh put those things inside of us. When we look at that, we go, what's the purpose of this life? Because there is a place that could happen tonight or tomorrow where that's never going to happen. We all know there's something wrong with that. We want balance. We want what people call utopia. Why? Because all of us inside have already been given the innate reason. It said it in Romans. We already know this life is this long. There's a purpose to it. What? What is it? Who wants to go to paradise? Well, guess what? We're all going. Okay, so we got in, right? Well, would you like to be your little sister? Would you like to work for her, or you want her to work for you? My dad did that when I was about 12, 14 years old. He showed me how much my little sister Rachel was going to have in her Roth IRA. At first, I mocked at her. Oh, whatever. Because I was always the money person, saving money and stuff. And then he broke out a calculator. And I went, I'm going to be working for my baby sister. Oh, man. Guess what I started doing? I started thinking about saving. All this is a competition. Not that we want to put people underneath us. Because they go, just work as hard as you can. Work your way up. How would you like to start a Coke industry and up marry Charles Koch's daughter? And he's the one to introduce you to her. Would that be a compliment?
Yeah.
How would you like to start at Trump and all of a sudden he introduces you to one of his sons? And he goes, hey, I want you to meet Lissette. The owner of the company introduced you. Yeah, because he watched you all the way from the mailroom. That's what this whole life's all about. Where are we now? 1 Corinthians 15.
New Testament kids.
Page 178 of the New Testament. This is a chapter that is never read. You guys ever see something? Don't touch this thing. Kind of want to touch it?
Yes.
And your mom says, don't touch this. Don't go into the kitchen. Kind of want to go in there? Well, religious people are going to tell you, don't read 1 Corinthians 15. Don't you read it. Why? What will happen? 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. The love is this, right at every wedding. The 14th chapter and the 15th chapter, the doctrines of men erode. What the heck? This doesn't even make any kind of sense. Just stay away from that. The doctrines of men takes one or two verses out of context. Right here, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 20. A comparison contrast. We're going to compare two Adams. Verse 20. But now hath Christ been raised from among the dead. Or awoke from among the dead. Had been awoke from among the dead. A first fruits of them who have fallen asleep. So Adam had fallen asleep. Noah had fallen asleep. Jonah had fallen asleep. Abraham had fallen asleep. Who was first to get up? Jesus Christ, Yahushua Mashiach. For since indeed through a man came death. Who is that? In Genesis, Adam and Eve chose the knowledge of good and evil, and death came. Now, we are the inheritance. That's why we have that enemy inside of us that tells us the lust of the flesh, all these wicked things. We got to kill each day. Kill them every day. Through a man also cometh the awakening of the dead. So it says raising. So the words are gyro, which means to awake. The awakening of the dead. For just as Adam all die, so also in the Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own rank, a first fruit Christ. After that, they who are the Christ in his presence. Afterwards, the end. Whensoever he delivered up the kingdom unto his God. What's the name of Jesus Christ, God?
Yahweh.
Yahweh, it's his Father and Father. Whensoever he shall bring to naught all rules and authority and power. For he must needs reign until he shall put all enemies under his feet. As a last enemy, death is to be delivered or destroyed. For he put all things in subjection. Who is he talking about? Jesus Christ put all things in subjection. Yahweh did under Jesus Christ's feet, subjection to his feet. But whensoever it shall be said, all things are in subjection, it is evident that it means except him who did put into subjection into the all things. Who is it? So everything's going to be subjection to Jesus Christ, except for Yahweh. When Joseph saved the world, Here he came in. His brothers reject him, sold for 20 pieces of silver. His dad thought he was dead. Joseph died. Not literally, but figuratively. And why did he die? He died to figuratively save his father and his brethren. Jesus Christ was betrayed by his brethren and sold for 30 pieces. 20 is symbolic of 10 pieces short of 30. 30 is a perfect number. Jesus Christ was sold. He died. He came back. Joseph, after he saved Egypt, what happened to Joseph? He's put at the right hand of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh goes, all of Egypt's. You got it. Why did Joseph get all of Egypt? And Egypt's in charge of the world at the time? He earned it.
Yeah.
And Pharaoh said, well, you do have everything except for, remember, I'm Pharaoh.
Yeah.
I'm still Pharaoh. But everything, you do whatever you want. And so why did Joseph get to do that? He earned it. He worked his way all the way up. And Jesus Christ did the same thing. What's the difference between Adam, the first Adam? He inherited the whole earth. Sorry, I thought this thing was turned off. He did nothing to inherit the whole earth. He was just born. Rich kid. Rich kids. A son and a daughter. What did the rich kids do? You ever seen somebody who inherited or mom and dad were wealthy and they bought their teenage daughter a BMW? You know how long those cars last? Not very long. If you didn't earn it. Jesus Christ was the opposite, the second Adam. He earned it all the way up. He came. And that's why he is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. When Stephen was stoned, what did he see in the sky?
Yahushua.
He saw Yahushua. And then what else did he see?
Yahweh.
The glory of Yahweh. You can't see Yahweh. You can't make an image of him either. Jesus Christ is the only image. And that's what he saw. And Jesus Christ inherited, and that's why there's no way to come to the Father except through the Son. Now see if I can get this thing to work. Let's see my props.
Okay.
So we are going to... Okay. Now a problem with this is you don't see Eve. In the beginning, twins. They were first twins, and then there was a wedding. Here's paradise. As one artist did. It's kind of neat. Look at that. Isn't it beautiful? Except there would be Eve somewhere. They wake up. And Yahweh says, you inherited the whole earth. Congratulations. And what happened, not sure. They were supposed to have babies, probably before the 9 months was up. Adam divorced Yahweh. His wife sinned. She didn't know what she was doing. She got deceived by the serpent. Adam had to decide between his wife and Yahweh. What did he choose? He chose his wife. Poor Yahweh. That's the beginning. What was the purpose of this? The purpose of their life was an audition of a perfect Eden that's going to be coming. Even them. Because what did Jesus Christ tell Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:15? The seed of the woman is going to crush this serpent. He's going to restore everything. Adam would have known, and Eve would have known, that there's going to be an Eden. The difference about the second Eden is nobody gets in unless they want to go. We didn't choose. Adam and Eve, as far as we know, Adam and Eve chose. It didn't say much about Eve after this. Did Cain choose? Did he want to go? No, Cain did not choose. Abel did. And the whole story was people getting an audition. Do you want to go to paradise? And so, Hebrews 2:31, if we turn to page 2:31, this next picture, we're try to ask you not to read any of the words that are on it that I'm going to use as a prop. Who is the father of our faith?
Abraham.
Father of a multitude. Abraham is his name. And so if there was a leader, the father of our faith, we're supposed to look at Jesus Christ or Yehoshua Mashiach number one. Well, if we're going to look at somebody's life, we should try to emulate. Look at Abraham. Abraham. And how many eggs did Sarah have when she was 90 years old? She had at least one egg left. And we're talking to Lissette about it. It says like a girl, an infant's born, has all the eggs in her body. There's 200 million eggs. But then we have this dialogue well, women only have a certain amount of eggs. And we go, not the sons of Yahweh, sons and daughters of Yahweh. We have unlimited resources. Mm-hmm. Eggs, whatever. You can ask Adam about, or you can ask Abraham about that. And Eve, you can imagine Eve going, but I don't have any eggs, Abraham. Yeah, I think he's got an egg or two. What do you imagine? There's an egg right back there, a little Tupperware jar up there, wherever girls keep that. Hebrews 11, 8, verse through 10. Would somebody please read that?
By faith, being called, Abraham obeyed to come forth into a place he was destined to receive for an inheritance. And he came forth, not well knowing whither he was coming. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a foreign land, in tents dwelling, along with Isaac and Jacob, the joint heirs of the same promise. For he was awaiting the city having foundations, whose architect and builder is Yahweh.
Amen. So what was Abraham looking for? A city. What city was he looking for? How did Abraham know about a city that's going to be built? Abraham, who is the only friend of Yahweh in the scriptures?
Abraham.
Very good. You think they had some good conversations? Man, when Christ comes back, we're going to get to, I think we're going to get to rent some of these DVDs. I want to see the dialogue between you and Yahweh. I think that's going to be part of paradise. Billions and billions and billions of lives, we're going to check these things out. It's going to be like Netflix. A really good one. Now here, I'm going to use as an example. This is Yahweh, or this is Abraham, understanding that the purpose from the Garden of Eden is the new heaven and new earth. In the Garden of Eden, did anybody get to choose to be there? No, the robots. Do you want your dog? What if you had two dogs? You had one dog that would died for you, that waited for you, might have messed up, but it loved and adored you. Then you had another one like a coyote that hated your guts. And the landlord says, you got to get rid of one. Which one are you going to get rid of? Coyote's got to go. What does Yahweh want? He wants us to choose him. And he waits for us every day to pray, to get down on our knees. Does he see when you get down on your hands and knees? Yes. Does he see that I did one guy, he says he made sure that he prayed in the morning naked. Because he goes, that's the way I'm going to be going before Jesus Christ. He said, at first I started doing it, I was really uncomfortable. Because he sees my heart. And so that's, isn't that neat? He sees your heart, and then he'll put something inside you. So here's this 80-year-old guy naked, and his nephew came into town, and got it was a really wild story. What are you doing? I was doing something really holy. Yeah, you were. Anyway, here's Abraham sing, and here's these valleys, and this is our word. Here's all the stories and things, and there's peaks and valleys, and then here'd be like the prophets could see the possibly the tips. That we should have five crosses here. But what's going on? What's the purpose of this whole thing? And it says that through Christ, the Hebrew word or the Greek word is through Christ, is the purpose of all these things. If you read Colossians, I think it's 1:15, it's going to say all things were created through Christ. Yahweh here, what was the purpose of all this? It was to have a son inherit the family business. Not a son who didn't choose, but a son that would work his way from the bottom all the way up. Now, Sean's father had a business. And how much would it bless him to have somebody not just go, Dad, just give me the keys. No, you start down here and you work your way up. The whole purpose of all of this, the whole purpose of all of our existence is through Christ. So Yahweh is going to have a son that was going to earn his way up. So 4,000 years until Mary got pregnant, he got born, and then what's still the whole purpose? What's this up here? It's the new heaven and new earth, and there's the new Jerusalem. And this is what the prophet says. This is what the word sees. So what was Abraham looking for? Where we're going. And when we start thinking about where we're going, you can imagine other kids at the same truck stop, sweat, hot, they've been picked on, they're irritated, they're uncomfortable, they look at you, what makes you so happy? I'm going to Disneyland. Oh, I'm going to Grandma's. I'm going to Disneyland. That's why I'm in such a good mood. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a walking advertisement. This life is this long. That's all you got. But as soon as we go to sleep, I'm going to wake up and be in front of Jesus Christ and say, it's the Garden of Eden. And guess what? All those whiny people, all those people that hate Christ, those people who voted for Obama that want to get rid of Christians, they're not going to be there. They say Revelation chapter 21. So what was Abraham looking for? Here's the end of the book. I think it's the first three chapters, the last three chapters. It's just like an introduction to a story. If you want to know what a story is about, read the introduction, read the conclusion. The beginning of the book is the Garden of Eden. Choose life or death. They chose death. A man's going to come that's going to restore Eden. And here's the end. Revelation chapter 21. And here is what... TV turned off. Would somebody start reading verse 1?
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea is no more. And the holy city, New Jerusalem, saw I coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice out of the throne saying, lo, the tent of Yahweh is with men, and he will tabernacle with them. And they shall be his people, and he shall be Yahweh with them, God with them. And he will wipe away every tear out of their eyes. And death shall be no more, and grief and outcry and pain shall be no more. The first things have passed away. And he that was sitting upon the throne said, lo, I make all things new. And he said, write, because these words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, accomplished. I am the A and the Z, the beginning and the end.
Okay, now we're going to scroll down to what was Abraham looking for? If you'd read verse 10 through 16. Can we get a description about what Abraham was looking for? Isn't that neat that Yahweh recorded in the book of Revelation so we can know what Abraham was actually looking for? What do you think? Where do you think Abraham got this information about this city?
Yahweh.
His best friend was telling him about it. I've heard all about this place. Can't wait to go. And Abraham, you're going to have the biggest house and the biggest place. Are you sure? All right. Yeah, we'll have a place right beside. Isaac will be there too. All right, man. It's going to be all right. Well, so this is what Abraham was looking for now. Go ahead, Mom.
And he carried me away in spirit unto a mountain great and high and pointed out to me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, having the glory of Yahweh, her luster, like unto a stone most precious, as a jasper stone, shining as crystal, having a wall great and high, having 12 gates, and at the gates 12 messengers, and names inscribed, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates, and the wall of the city having 12 foundations, upon them 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that was talking with me had for a measure a reed of gold, that he might measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city four square wide, and the length thereof is as great as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height thereof are equal.
Okay. This city, and you can see up here, I zoomed in a little bit, so you can see a big New Jerusalem being lowered onto an earth. You know how big this city is, guys? It's bigger than the state of Texas. It's 52% the size of the continental United States. A city. How tall is this city? You ever heard of Mount Everest?
Yeah.
It's 5.5 Mount Everest tall. How fast are those elevators? Mount Everest, there's 5 of those. That's what's being lowered down. What does it look like? It's absolutely breathtaking. I personally believe, you see up here, a lot of people believe, E.W. Bulger believes it's this perfect cube. I don't know about the circle on the top. The perfect cube is the same diameters of the Holy of Holies.
Oh.
Where did you go to meet Yahweh? He was in the Holy of Holies. Here's this huge city. And what's the purpose of all this life? From Genesis to Revelation, what's happening over all this duration of time? People are choosing who wants to go.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Covet not thy neighbor's goods. These other things. Who wants to go? And that's what Jesus Christ was. Come on, follow me. Man, we've forsaken everybody to follow you. He goes, man, you got to know where we're going. And so here's the city, and other people might believe it might be a little more of like a pyramid. We're not quite sure, but I believe that Abraham was getting, Yahweh was designing these things. And as far as we know, it's being built right now. It doesn't exist yet as far as we know, but it could be getting built. So this one's my favorite.
Yeah.
Here's another picture of the New Jerusalem being lowered down on the new heaven and new earth. See, look at this thing. How beautiful is this thing going to be? Not only are we going to get to go live in this city that's 5.5 times bigger than Mount Everest. It's 50% the size of the United States. 52% of the size. Let me see. I had something else. It could be a perfect cube. But Yahweh's going to get to present it to us. Donald Trump likes to build things. Do you think if he could, do you think he'd like to have a cloth over the top of one of his towers? If he could have.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a nice way to present something? Mm-hmm. Here, close your eyes. And here we are. Christ is going to come back. We're going to wake up. You doing mouth to mouth?
No.
Sorry. But then in front of all of his kids, he's going to be lowering the New Jerusalem. What's that going to be like? And inside there's going to be a key. There's going to be a house that's going to say, Troy Burt, which one's mine? Or look at that one over there. That's where Moses must live. Ooh, that's got to be. And then you know what's going to happen? In some of these gigantic penthouses, that's where your heart is. That's where your treasure will be. We're going to say, who's that? Oh, that's just a little old widow that lived down the street that nobody knew about. Well, what about Kenneth Copeland said he's got to do big things? That's not necessarily he's going to be running these things. So you're going to go, that's where we're going. And that's what our life is supposed to be, an advertisement. We're going better than Disneyland, Disney World. And we're not supposed, you know, today's Christian, they're so busy trying to they're trying to take people hostage to become saved. You gotta go scare the crap out of somebody and get them saved. Scare them! You're gonna burn to death, you'll be tortured, it's so scary! And they're gonna be like, and if they don't want to go, we don't want them there. We don't want a bunch of people going on strike going, we want booze! We want booze. No, that's not going to be paradise because that's going to be like the life that we're used to now. But let's see here. So turn to James 4:14 as we wrap up. 2:37. So if you can look at paradise, if you get an idea, that's why one of these pictures. Because at least it really helps me. You get an idea, and I believe that Abraham got to see something better than any painting like that. You start seeing that, guys, we're gonna be there. You're gonna be there. It could be tonight. And it could be great. Matthew 6:19 says, "Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is gonna be."
Yeah.
If you invest everything into this life to get friends in this life, to get likes on Facebook, I saw that somebody said that one time. I'm pretty polarizing on Facebook. I'm not trying to deceive anybody. I don't have a whole lot of friends. I don't get a whole lot of likes either. But there was somebody who said, wouldn't it be great if people just posting to try to get Yahweh and Christ likes instead of man's likes? But there are things that sometimes we're going to post things. We're going to say things. And it's not to get friends. It's going to say, look, if you invest all your life and your resources in this life, you're going to have it. But we're going there. That where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. Oh, the other neat thing. Okay, so from you guys are all James. From the Garden of Eden, that time span, and we're going back over here, this long distance, so far from here, to right about here, wherever we are. This is 4,000 years to Jesus Christ. Then we get to here, wherever we are, right here. And that's been 6,000 years. What's he waiting on? come on, let's get going. Well, that we should be. Man, I can't wait for this. I can't wait to go. I mean, it's like mom, dad said, we're going to wake you up in the middle of the night to go to Disneyland. We should be really excited. But what's the purpose of this length? What's happening in this process? People are being born, and people are choosing. Choose life. People are being born, people are choosing. Choosing life. It's almost as if he's giving out all these tickets. Who wants to go? Who wants to go? Here, who wants to go? And the neat thing is that it says that are people going to be married there? Is anybody, are people going to be getting married? Are you going to have your husbands or your wives in paradise?
No.
No. Because the wicked people tried to fool Jesus Christ, tried to trick him. So, and Jesus Christ goes, in the paradise, people are not going to be married nor given in marriage. They're going to be like the messengers. So if you spend all your life out there trying to find your spouse or something, if that's your life achievement, what if Christ comes back before you get your life achievement? Getting married is not supposed to be an achievement. But the deal is, why won't we be having babies there? Because all the rooms are going to be full. If people are having babies, did the kids get to choose life? No. So what's happening is the purpose of life is for people. This is an audition. Who wants to go? Adam and Eve was the same thing. I'm fully convinced on that. But the 4,000, 6,000 years, here we are. What's taking so long? I want to see this place. And you say James 4:14, page 237. Would somebody please read that?
Men who are not versed in tomorrow, of what sort your life will be, for ye are a vapor, for a little appearing, then just disappearing. Instead of you saying, if...
It says this life is but a vapor, and it also says a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day. Have you heard that verse? So to Yahweh, a thousand years is as a day. That's how long it takes. How long do fruit flies live? I think it's 24 hours. Their whole life. Or nymphs, maybe some animal, it's like a week. Their whole lifespan is right there, but a thousand years to Yahweh is as a day. So we got 6,000 days to build his house? It's been 6,000 days, it's 6 days. 6,000 years is 6 days. So Yahweh already told us, 1,000 years is nothing. So we sit there, we're going to go, man, where are your treasure? That's where your heart's going to be. When's the undercover boss coming back? We don't know. We got a glimpse of some of these pictures. We got to see some of the stuff where we're going. And we sit there, we're going to go, man. It says that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And if it wasn't for him, everything was created through him. The purpose of our life. And that's where you get to Colossians 1. And the other thing was, I was praying and I was meditating and I was trying to fellowship with Yahweh. And what I recently learned is, I feel compelled to sing a song, an unscripted song. I'm not good at that. Unscripted. Oh, I see a tree. I feel like Elf on Elf. You know, it's my dad. I love him. I love him. I love him. You know, here's this song. But anyways, I felt like I was supposed to do it. And then what I learned is Yahweh wanted me to give him an offering. Don't go to Jesus Christ and Yahweh without an offering. Whatever an offering is. A song, a verse, get down on your hands and knees. And I did that. And I sang this song. And as I got quiet, they will show me visions of wonderful things. And you know what I saw? In this picture, I saw Yahweh sitting back, watching things being built, watching his new heavens and his new earth. Things being put together. How exciting. Man.
Yeah.
This, look how big this thing's going to be. How big is this planet going to be? I don't know. Well, I hope Yahweh knows how gravity works, because we can't use the bigger planet. That mess up gravity. We all get smushed like Jupiter. I think he knows how to use gravity here. Oh, okay. You start thinking about this place and all of a sudden go, man, that's where we're going. And then when we go through torture, when we go through being resented, if you are thinking about paradise and where you're going, that could be any day. Let the cares of this world pull you out of paradise. And they go, you're daydreaming again, Troy. I'm trying to tell you, you're fired. All right, I'm fired. That's it. Be that peculiar person. They go, man, I just fired you. Why are you always such an optimistic person? I'm going someplace great, man. You want to know about it? They start telling the streets of gold. Haven't you heard that Creed song? Let me tell you about this place. Tear, death, and pain are no more. The only people that are going to be there are the people that want to be there. You start being this walking advertisement. They go, what's the point of Adam and Eve? It was an audition of the new heaven and new earth. The purpose of the first heaven and earth. So the other thing was, what about dinosaurs? I said, dinosaurs was a rebellion in Genesis 1-2. Before Adam and Eve. And so I had this. I thought about this. So what's the purpose of dinosaurs? I sat there and go, why did you even make dinosaurs? Huh. And then I sat there and started contemplating about the dinosaurs that happened before the Garden of Eden. All of a sudden I started thinking, well, what if we didn't have dinosaurs? Man, those kids would really be upset. Man, dude, who likes dinosaurs more than anything? His grandkids! They love them! Do you think he knew that his grandkids are going to love these things? And as far as we know, they weren't even animals. As far as we know, he just gave, these are like Legos. And here we got Jurassic Park, and we got T-Rexes and all these cool things. Do you think Yowie knew we were going to love these things? Mm-hmm. Could it be that he had Legos? Or even had animals die so we could dig up the bones? Oh, man. Oh, okay. The whole purpose of this whole life is where we're going.